We appreciate all the business. We want to feel welcome and hope they'll have a mind to come back and be with us. Lunch has been brought out. We want you to stay. I thought so. We invite you to stay. We want you to stay and have lunch with us. Also, we want to remind each of you that on Friday night, this coming Friday night, the 16th, Brother Wayne Hoover will be ordained to the full ministry at the Parkview Primitive Baptist Church in Winston. And that church is located outside of Winston, between Winston and Kernersville, just off of Highway 150. If nothing happens to the Lord willing, I'm planning on going. If any of you want to go with me, talk to me after the service. We'll get together on the time and place to meet. And we'll be glad for some of you to go with me there.
We would also say that we welcome everyone that's come to worship with us today at Lindsay Street Primitive Baptist Church. We appreciate your presence. Trust we're all thankful for the privilege once again of assembling ourselves together that we might worship the Lord. We trust with in spirit and in truth. We have a card here from the family of Sister Martha Carter. The family of Mrs. Martha Carter gratefully acknowledges your kind expression of sympathy to members and friends of Reedsville Primitive Baptist Church. We want to express our appreciation for the lovely yellow wreath you folks sent in the remembrance of our mother. Many of you were with us at the viewing on Saturday night or the funeral on Sunday, or both times. For this, we are deeply grateful. Your presence meant so much to us. It was so gracious of Elder Draper to come. We enjoy meeting him and appreciate his coming. Sincerely, I believe that's Lib or Lil Kincaid and Elwood P. Carter. What's that, Moody?
Thank you.
We never did know Sister Carter while she was well. She had had I understand that maybe she was here the first time I was here, maybe with Elder Lamb, but she had a stroke before I knew who she was individually. And we went with the rest home to see her that day that Brother Clyde and I visited around, but she was not aware that we were there. If you will, turn to page 143, the last hymn, Kindred in Christ. You may stand if you like as we sing. And then as we go to the Lord in prayer, we desire sincere interest in your prayers, that you might be blessed to pray with me and for one another and the service as we go on to worship the Lord.
Kindred
in Christ, for his dear sake, a hearty welcome here receive. May we together now partake the joys which
only he can give to you and us.
Sweet and cause our hearts to burn with love. each other thus. We only wish to speak of him who lived and died and reigned for us. We'll talk of all he did and said and suffered for us here below. Our most kind and merciful Heavenly Father, it's again that we bow in thy presence, desire to thank thee again for the many blessings of life. Thou hast enabled us once again to arise from our beds of slumber and to assemble ourselves in the house, O Lord, that's been set aside and dedicated to the worship of thee, the only true and living God. Thou who art the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, our Savior and our Redeemer, in whose name once again we desire to approach unto thee, that we might, O Lord, praise and adore thy great and wonderful name, and that thou, dear Lord, would hear our prayers and supplications for Jesus' sake, and hear, O Lord, our confessions, and hear our supplications, for it's in his name once again that we approach unto thy great throne of grace, that we might obtain mercy and grace to help in a time of need, and that thy most holy Father might be worshiped and praised in a way that's acceptable unto thee, and that the church here at Menzies Street once more, O Lord, might be received with favor before thee, and thou would be in our midst to own and to bless, O Lord, once more thy holy and precious word, which is the truth and sets, O Lord, the prisoners free from the bondage and the entanglements and philosophies of men that lie in wait to ensnare and to deceive, and by that, and our great enemy, Satan, that accuser, and our adversary, who is forever, O Lord, bringing and casting doubts and fears upon thy person and thy veracity, O Lord. How we thank thee for thy wonderful truths. Thank thee, O Lord, for the comforter, the witness of the truth that seals it to our hearts, that we might, O Holy Father, receive that evidence and assurance that thou art true and besides thee that there is no other, and that thy words are true and faithful, and that we can depend upon them. We thank thee, O Lord, for the precious gospel, that good news that thou hast revealed to us by our prophet, our priest, and our king, and that enlightens our pathway. It's a lamp unto our feet and a light in our pathway, and the entrance of thy word doth give light. And, O Father, when we follow thee, who is the light of the world, then we shall not stumble in the darkness. Father, we thank thee again for the privilege of assembling together this day, and pray, Father, that it might please thee to bless thy word as it goes forth now. Bless each heart that's here. Give us, O Lord, a perceiving heart and a hearing ear, an understanding mind, that we might, O Lord, digest thy words, as it were, that we might feed upon them, that we might be edified and built up in the most holy faith, that we might be better qualified to worship and to praise thee, and better witnesses of thy mercy and grace. Dear Lord, we pray for the sick and the afflicted, those that are in the hospitals and the rest home, those that are on the beds of afflictions in their own home. O Lord, thou knowest who they are and what they stand in need of. And for each and every one, O Lord, whose minds and affections are toward thee and toward thy house of worship this day, but are hindered from coming, we pray thou would be near and dear unto them and around about them. And our Father, we pray for the leaders and rulers of our country as thou hast commanded us. O Lord, may they seek thy face and favor and call upon thee for wisdom to rule over such a great people. For these and all blessings we ask in the precious name of Jesus and for his sake. Amen. Amen. Said Brother Stanley was doing some better if you didn't understand what he said in the rest home at Eaton. He's got a little more strength, I believe, in his hand where he had this stroke. When we were here in our last meeting, we spoke from the 6th chapter of John, and we were speaking of where the Lord fed the 5,000 and his disciples. He sent them away in a little ship, and he remained behind, went to a place alone to pray, and during the storm, while the Lord came to his disciples in the ship, and when they first saw him, they were afraid, but then they received him in the ship, and they were immediately at the shore. And we likened the little ship like the church on the sea of time until our Lord comes again, and when he comes the second time, we will be immediately at home. Apostle said, in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, that we shall be changed. And these vile bodies shall be like the glorious body of our Lord, who is alive. He was dead, but now he's alive forevermore. Continuing in the same chapter after that, the Lord, I know most old Baptists are familiar with the 6th chapter of the Gospel of John, and there's one of the greatest discourses, we think, that the Lord ever had with people while he was here, takes place. And that great topic that's been a controversy among believing Christians from the beginning, of free will and free grace, is the subject matter, or it's the basis of that subject matter in this discourse. And we'd like to read to you what takes place after the ship was at the shore from the last time we were here. And then, the Lord willing, have a few things to say about it. And we desire an interest in your prayers as we stand before you for a few minutes. The day following, that is, after the ship was at the shore, the day following, when the people which stood on the other side of the sea saw that there was none other boat there, save the one where his disciples were entered, and that Jesus went not with his disciples into the boat, but that his disciples were gone away alone. Howbeit, there came other boats from Tiberias nigh unto the place where they did eat bread, after that the Lord had given thanks. When the people therefore saw that Jesus was not there, neither his disciples, they also took shipping and came to Capernaum, seeking for Jesus. And when they had found him on the other side of the sea, they said unto him, Rabbi, when camest thou hither? Jesus answered them and said, Verily, verily, I say unto you, you seek me not because you saw the miracles, but because you did eat of the loaves and were filled. Labor not for the meat which perisheth, but for that meat which endureth unto everlasting life, which the Son of Man shall give unto you, for him hath God the Father sealed. Then said they unto him, what shall we do that we might work the works of God? Jesus answered and said unto them, this is the work of God, that ye believe on him whom he hath sent. They said therefore unto him, what sign showest thou then, that we may see and believe thee? What dost thou work? Our fathers did eat manna in the desert, as it is written, he gave them bread from heaven to eat. Then Jesus said unto them, verily, verily, I say unto you, Moses gave you not that bread from heaven, but my Father giveth you the true bread from heaven. For the bread of God is he which cometh down from heaven and giveth life unto the world. Then saith they unto him, Lord, evermore give us this bread. And Jesus said unto them, I am the bread of life. He that cometh to me shall never hunger, and he that believeth on me shall never thirst. But I said unto you that ye also have seen me and believe not. All that the Father giveth me shall come to me, and him that cometh to me I will in no wise cast out. For I came down from heaven not to do mine own will, but the will of him that sent me. And this is the Father's will which has sent me, that of all which he hath given me I should lose nothing, but should raise it up again at the last day. And this is the will of him that sent me, that every one which seeth the Son and believeth on him may have everlasting life, and I will raise him up at the last day. The Jews then murmured at him because he said, I am the bread which came down from heaven. And they said, is not this Jesus, the son of Joseph, whose father and mother we know? How is it then that he saith, I came down from heaven? Jesus therefore answered and said unto them, murmur not among yourselves. No man can come to me except the Father which has sent me draw him, and I will raise him up at the last day. It is written in the prophets, and they shall be all taught of God. Every man therefore that hath heard and hath learned of the Father cometh unto me. Not that any man hath seen the Father, save he which is of God. He hath seen the Father. Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that believeth on me hath everlasting life. I am that bread of life. Your fathers did eat manna in the wilderness and are dead. This is the bread which cometh down from heaven, that a man may eat thereof and not die. I am the living bread which came down from heaven. If any man eat of this bread, he shall live forever, and the bread that I will give is my flesh, which I will give for the life of the world. The Jews therefore strove among themselves, saying, how can this man give us his flesh to eat? Then Jesus said unto them, verily, verily, I say unto you, except ye eat the flesh of the Son of Man and drink his blood, ye have no life in you. Whosoever eateth my flesh and drinketh my blood hath eternal life, and I will raise him up at the last day. For my flesh is meat indeed, and my blood is drink indeed. He that eateth my flesh and drinketh my blood dwelleth in me, and I in him. As the living Father hath sent me, and I live by the Father, so he that eateth me, even he shall live by me. This is that bread which came down from heaven, not as your fathers did eat manna and are dead. He that eateth of this bread shall live forever. These things said he in the synagogue as he taught in Capernaum. Many therefore of his disciples, when they had heard this, said, this is a hard saying, who can hear it? When Jesus knew in himself that his disciples murmured at it, he said unto them, does this offend you? What, and if you shall see the Son of Man ascend up where he was before? It is the Spirit that quickeneth, the flesh profiteth nothing. The words that I speak unto you, they are spirit and they are life. But there are some of you that believe not. For Jesus knew from the beginning who they were that believed not and who should betray him. And he said, therefore said I unto you that no man can come unto me except it were given unto him of my Father. From that time many of his disciples went back and walked no more with him. Then said Jesus unto the 12, will ye also go away? Then Simon Peter answered him, Lord, to whom shall we go? Thou hast the words of eternal life. And we believe and are sure that thou art that Christ, the Son of the living God. Jesus answered them, have not I chosen you 12, and one of you is a devil? He spake of Judas Iscariot, the son of Simon, for he it was that should betray him, being one of the 12. Now that's a lot of reading, I realize that, and I'll never be able to cover all of it. But the reading itself is very profitable. And we have here the announcement and the sealing of the announcement, so to speak, of our Lord's announcement that eternal life is of him, through him, and by him. He said that he would give his flesh, which in this instance stands for his humanity. He refers to himself as the Son of Man, not the Son of God, but as the Son of Man. It is as the Son of Man that he took on himself humanity, flesh and blood, that he might carry out and fulfill the will of his Father. Now, the Jews and many of his disciples had followed him. In the fifth chapter, he had healed the impotent man that had been lame for 38 years. And then he fed the 5,000 with bread. And then he walked upon the water and stilled the storm and the wind and the tempest. And he overcame time and space. The ship was immediately at shore, showing that he was the Son of God, that he was God incarnate. He was equal with the Creator. He fed the 5,000. He created food to feed them with. He healed the diseased. He had power over the diseased, over the unseen world of demons and devils and disease. He had power over the elements, the wind and the waves. And he had power over space and time. It was all and is all at his command. But he passes on from miracles and his ability to do great miracles and wonders and signs. The Jews had always sought after a sign. The Greeks, they sought after wisdom. We can just about classify the human race into that category today. We all at time would love to have a sign that God is for us or is with us. We often seek in various ways assurances that God is God and that his word is true and that we are his disciples and that we do trust in him and do believe in him. And we are forever seeking assurance that our faith might be strong in him. And so some of these came, and he said that they want to know how he got over there. They were all Jews and familiar with the wonders and signs of how the children of Israel were delivered out of Egypt and the Red Sea parting. They were wondering if he parted the water maybe, or what great miracle, how did he get where he was? And they came inquiring about that. And he told them, for he knew what was in man, that they came because they did eat of the bread. And now he says, seek not after the bread that perishes, but after that bread that will last for eternity. And they said, well, what must we do to work the works of God? And he said, if ye would work the work of God in the singular. They had it in the plural, but he put it in the singular. The work of God is to believe on him whom God hath sent. And that was Christ Jesus our Lord. He was the sent one. Apostle Paul calls him a great apostle and high priest. And an apostle is a sent one. So he is our great apostle. He was sent of the Father. And every work that you can do or ever will do that's acceptable to the Father has to be done in this one work. That is, believe on him whom he has sent. Without faith, it's impossible to please God. And what is not of faith is sin. And so the Apostle James says that faith without works is dead. But then works without faith is sin. And so what is not of faith is sin. So regardless of what work we might perform, and regardless of whose name that it's in, if it's not in belief that God is our source of strength and help for everything that we do, if it's not in the strength that we are sinners and we need a righteousness which God has provided, which is to be found in Jesus Christ, then all of that work that we do is in vain. And we see that illustrated, as we refer to constantly, in the very first offerings of humanity. It's listed from the beginning of the creation. We see that in Cain and in Abel. Both of them offered up a sacrifice. One was accepted and the other was not accepted. And the reason was, as scriptures tell us, is because by faith Abel offered up a more excellent sacrifice than Cain. Cain offered up a sacrifice, but it was not accepted. And it was not done in faith. And it was done in pride. It was done with the view that his works were acceptable to God. It was not acknowledging that God is righteous and that we are sinners, and he will not accept sinners as such. He will not condone sin. He cannot condone sin. It's contrary to his very nature. Just as it said that God cannot lie, it means that the very nature of God is such that he cannot lie. I mean, God is good. God is holy. God is just. God is righteous. God is pure. God is perfection in every attribute. And therefore, he cannot do anything that would be contrary to that nature. And so he has all power and all wisdom. And he is fills eternity. He's everywhere present and nowhere absent. And so there is nothing that is too hard for the Lord. There is no power, no wisdom lacking, no power lacking at his command, since he has all power. And so God then cannot condone sin because he is holy. And so sin is not any kind of a sacrifice or any kind of a work that is performed outside of faith is not acceptable. It's just not acceptable. And so Christ, as our prophet from God here, tells us and is telling the Jews and his disciples the necessity of what man must do if he would have eternal life. And the conditions are, if you want to call them conditions, and those that advocate free will say the conditions are repentance and faith. And they are, God's people do repent, and they do exercise faith. They have faith. But the controversy is how does man come by these two conditions whereby they are acceptable to the Lord? And how is it that they can see the Lord The Lord refers to himself here as saying that he that seeth the Son, beholdeth the Son, and he that believeth on the Son. And then he says, he that cometh to him. He refers to all three of these actions, beholding and coming and believing. And so to behold the Lord, to come to the Lord, to believe on the Lord, must be done by the power of faith. We are distinctly told that faith is a gift of God. By grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it is a gift of God. And Christ is the author and the finisher of our faith. And therefore, it is necessary for God's people to believe, and it is necessary for them to come to him, behold him, believe on him. In other words, this coming to Jesus means to trust in him. It means to come to the place that where your works is to trust in him for your soul's salvation. That you are, that your hope of eternal life is based upon his works or his righteousness. Now, many people say that because the Lord spoke in this manner here, that one must hear the gospel and make a mental acceptance of the gospel and hear the name of Jesus Christ pronounced in order to ever go to heaven. But we know from scriptures that that is not true, because Cain and Abel, if they ever knew of a man named Jesus, we have no record of it in the scriptures, because it was almost 4,000 years before he became incarnate and took on himself that name. And it was only when the angel told Mary that thou shalt call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins, that we knew his name would be Jesus, that is, in his humanity. And though we had the promise of the seed of the woman coming and the Christ or the Messiah coming, the sent one, from very, very early stages of humanity, yet we knew not his name was Jesus until the angel told Joseph that he would call his name Jesus. But still, we have the scriptures that says that Abel was righteous, righteous Abel. And he is listed among the household of the faithful in the 11th chapter of Hebrews, along with Noah and Abraham and Isaac and Jacob and Moses and many others, Sarah. And so we have the word of God that Abel offered up a sacrifice by faith that was acceptable to God. And so this then would tell us what is meant when the Lord says that my sheep hear my voice, and I give unto them eternal life, and they shall never perish. And the scriptures teach us that each and every child of God that's embraced in that everlasting covenant, where when the Lord in the 17th chapter of John prayed to his Father and referred to them that he had given him, this covers the multitude of souls that the Father has given the Son, and the Son redeemed when he was here on earth. And the way he redeemed them was by taking on himself humanity, which he called here flesh, his flesh. And so the only way that God's people can be saved or redeemed is through the flesh and the body of Jesus Christ. And he says that if a man did not eat his flesh and drink his blood, that he had no life in him. And right around on the other hand, if one did, that he had eternal life, or he had everlasting life. He that liveth and believeth on me, he says, hath everlasting life. So from these scriptures, I cannot see how it can be denied by a reasonable person with a reasonable mind that believing on the Lord Jesus Christ and faith are the fruits of the Spirit, or it is the evidence of life and not the cause of life. To repent, to feel that you are a sinner, and to repent over your sins, and to believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, to believe in God, to believe in His righteousness, to believe that He is a great Savior and a deliverer to whatever knowledge you have, is then a fruit of the Spirit. It is the results or the evidence of being one of the Lord's children. And so we have this discourse that the Lord has said unto them, that the Jews had a great propensity to believe and trust in their own works. And the Apostle Paul said that they had stumbled at that stumbling stone that was laid in Zion. And the stumbling stone was that they were endeavoring to establish their own righteousness through the law service that God had given them, which pointed to the service that Christ would perform when He came. All of the priests and all of the sacrifices and all of the furniture in the tabernacle and everything that God gave them as a way of worshiping Him were types and shadows of what our Savior was and what He would do. It was either a type of His person or a type of one of His offices that He would fulfill as our prophet, priest, and king, and our mediator. And so Christ is a fulfillment of all the prophecies and of all the services that were performed in the tabernacle or in the temple after the temple was born. And He is, this is what He is saying here. He is saying that I am the bread that came down from heaven. I am the true bread. I am the living bread. If any man would serve God, if any man would know God, if any man would live eternally, then here is the bread from heaven. And He says, I am the true bread. And they said, well, Moses, you know, that he fed us for 40 years there in the wilderness. And the Lord reminded them that it was not Moses that did that, but it was God. And God was the one that gave them the bread. Moses was truly their mediator of that covenant and the leader and the deliverer of them out of Egypt, but he was just a type of the true deliverer out of the Egypt of this world, the darkness of this world, of sin and depravity. And so he leads them to this kernel of truth that has forever been claimed ever since then and cannot now be, nothing can be taught in its place or in place of it, that Christ is life eternal. To know Him is life eternal. And the way that He has purchased eternal life for His for believers is by giving His own body, giving His flesh. And the flesh speaks of fulfilling the covenant, and the blood shed, it's the losing of the blood that brings about death, which reminds us of the penalty of sin that He suffered in our room instead. And so by referring to His flesh and His blood should bring to remembrance that we are sinners and that it is only through the offering of a righteous sacrifice, one that is without sin, that is acceptable unto God, and He is then the sacrifice. Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that believeth on me hath everlasting life. I am that bread of life. Your fathers did eat manna in the wilderness and are dead. He said something similar to this when he talked to the Samaritan woman at the well. And she asked for that water when he told her about living water. And she asked for that water. And he said that if any person drink of the water that I shall give him, it shall become a well, a spring, a well of water springing up into him for life eternal. And here he refers to himself as the living bread that came down from heaven. And any man that eats of this bread shall never die. And he shall have eternal life. And so it was in his humanity by which the Son of Man, he said, will give you this. And so it is the Son of Man that gives us the bread of life. It is the Son of Man that gives us the water of life. But he's not speaking about natural water and natural bread. And he's exhorting them not to seek after bread that perishes, but that bread which leads to eternal life. And how do we do that? How does God's people feed upon the body and the blood of Christ? Why, it's certainly by faith, under the canopy of faith, and it's in reading the Word of God. It's in meditating on the Word of God. It's in prayer with God, to God. And it's also in listening to the preaching of the Word and the having fellowship with those around the Word of God that testifies of the Lord Jesus and of His body and of His blood. And so the eating of the body of Christ and the drinking of His blood is the same as a connotation of coming to Him and seeing Him or beholding Him and believing on Him. We know that there is a denomination that believes that that they have the power to transform bread and wine into the body and the blood of Christ. They call it transubstantiation. But we do not believe that. We believe that just as the Lord said that He was the door, we don't believe that He was a literal door, that it was a type, that it was only through Him that we come to the Father. It is through the Lord that we come into the sheepfold of the gospel church, and it is by His power and His grace and His mercy that He has performed on our behalf. Christ is our paschal lamb. He is our sacrifice. His humanity was offered for sin. And it was for the sin of the world, as he says here, not just the Jewish nation. God had called the Jewish nation and had dealt with them in a way in which he had not dealt with any other people on the face of the earth. And they were under the impression because of that, that they were safe and secure throughout all eternity, and that the Gentiles were just not a part of that. But yet any of them that had read the Scriptures knew that time and time again the Lord had referred to the time when Messiah would come, that He would be a light unto the Gentiles as well as unto His people Israel. And many, many Scriptures the apostles called from the Old Testament to testify to this fact, and which we don't need to go into. But the Jews felt like that since they had been called and a chosen people, and God had dealt with them so bountifully, that they did not need a sacrifice of like the Lord Jesus Christ. But this is the point that He is telling them here. That He is all that the law service that they had observed for 1,500 years, that He is a fulfillment of them. And that those never took...